there have been some exhibitions of pictures and message, newspaper reports and other messages that have been exhibited outside. So to lead us in this session, I would like to hand over the mic to the mother of the Matthias, Malama Zinatuddin Ibrahim, to give us an introductory remark on Zaria Rose Day 2004 massacre and the exhibitions that we're seeing outside.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه المنتجبين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. I've been asked to make a few remarks on the incidents of what happened at last year's courts demonstration. So, and what I understand by that is maybe I should speak as one of the mothers to those martyrs, those were that were martyred on that day. So what I want to say is that ever since I came to know about the plight of our Palestinian brothers, I have always felt a great pain in my heart that despite that the Holy Land does not belong to them alone, it belongs to all Muslims. And then, despite that, the Masjid al-Aqsa is for all the Muslims, but it is only just by chance that they are living there. So they have to bear the brunt of the oppression of the usurpers. And ever since then, I've always hoped that there was a way that I could take, you know, my weapons and go and fight alongside of those oppressed brothers. But as we all know, or as we are all aware of, the age-long conspiracy of the colonialists and the imperialists have made that impossible, because they have divided the Islamic Ummah into different nation states, which makes it impossible for one to take off his arms and then go and just join the jihadists there, you know, to liberate Quds. Because at the time of when the Crusaders came and when they usurped Quds, that was what happened. At that time, anyone who fears Allah and he's able to do it, just they were able to go there to fight the usurpers, you know, under the jihad led by Salahuddin Ayyubi until the Quds was liberated. So it has always been my wish that the conspiracies that has been hatched by the plot of the colonialists and the imperialists have not been like that. I had wished that the time is like the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi. But alhamdulillah, while we are here, we are not able to do something. We only watch what is happening to our brothers. We only cry whenever they have been the Zionists are killing them or they are oppressing them or something of that nature. And I always feel guilt in my heart. I always feel that, what am I going to tell Allah? You know, if on the day of judgment, Allah asks us that we are living at the same time on this earth with these people. We live at the same time, at the same age, and the Quds, the Holy Quds, is under usurpation and occupation, and our brothers and sisters have been tortured and killed. And what are we doing? And the kind of pains they are going through. Is the kind of Jannah that we want to enter? How can we enter this kind of Jannah with the oppression that is being meted out to them, and we are living, and nothing is happening to us, when we are supposed also to be fighting for the liberation of that place? So I at that time I used to wish that, alhamdulillah, here we have an Islamic movement under the leadership of our Sheikh, and which has enlightened us to know what our duties are as Muslims, that we have our primary duty is to come here to this world to worship Allah. So it has always been my hope that one day, when justice is established in this part of the country where we are, we will also be able to give our own contribution to the struggle of liberation of Palestine, just like the Islamic Republic of Iran is giving. But now we are also under occupation. And at that time, we used to do just the little we could do. You know, we talk and then we do demonstrations and so on, with some few incidences. But alhamdulillah, you know, what happened last year, you know, it removed a little burden from my heart, seeing that the struggle is now has been brought here at home. You know, if you watch the videos of what happened or the pictures of what happened, if it is from a distance and you are not told that these are Palestinians, you will think you are in Palestine. What happened here? The barbarism to which they treated our children and our brothers. So, and one thing I want to say is that about the children, because I only have few, I think 10 minutes or so to say something. So, is that these children, Ahmed, Hamid, and Mahmoud, it has always been their wish. They grew up in the struggle, and it has always been their wish to give the whole of their life for struggle in the cause of Allah. Palestine is one of the issues. And all those that know them know that they are very active, even though they are, Ahmed is only 23 at the time of his martyrdom. Hamid was 22, because between them is only 1 year and 3 months. And then Mahmoud was only 19. But they grew up in the struggle. They were born in the struggle and grew up in the struggle. And ever since they grew up, you know, their main pastime, or if they have anything to call pastime, is Islamic activities. You know, they contributed a lot in bringing awareness among the youth. This is people that in the Islamic movement, they know this. They go from town to town preaching, you know, and they formed, what shall I say, Ahmed was the one who formed Abu Fadl Abbas under the guardianship of his father, you know. So, it has been their wish always. They are always talking of Shahada. They will always say, now we will be Shahada before you. I will say, no, I will go before you. We are always saying this between ourselves. So it is even the day they were to be martyred, a day before the time, that was in the night, they were also talking about this between them. This one was saying, I will be a shaheed before you. The other one is saying, no, it is me who is going to be a shaheed before you. So these children, these brothers, shall I say, I can talk well of my children because I know them very well. You know, I know this has been their wish, and most of the brothers that were killed too, you know, we will find that there are a lot of reports that we heard about them. There are people who are very good, and they have been, some of them even say goodbye to their people at home, that they are going to be, that today is the day of their Shahada. So my children, alhamdulillah, they got what they wanted. Although each one of them, to those who know them, they know that they are not ordinary children. You know, in fact, in the house, I can say they are the most active ones in the house. What I mean, among the children, they were the most active ones because some of their brothers and sisters my first child, he was away for very long. He was in Iran studying. At a time, he was in England, and then he was in Iran. But Ahmed and Hamid have been here throughout, and also Mahmoud. But they only went out later. So they were more, all the struggle. In fact, when they were little children, when they were about, Ahmed at that time was 6 years or 7 years old, we were arrested during the time of Abacha regime. So they grew up in struggle. So it is nothing to them, you know. So they got what they wanted. The only thing is that, like I always say to people, they ask me, how do you feel? I say it is a shock. For this, it is not a shock to me that they are shaheed, because I always pray to Allah that I want part of my children to be shuhada. I want myself to be a shaheed too. But I didn't know that three of them will be brought to me in one day, and then we'll spread them and look at them, just like a little portion of what happened in Karbala, you know. So that was only the shock. But all of them at the same time, it's not that this became a shaheed and then we mourn him and then later this and so on. But actually this is the best, because I believe that this was done by the will of Allah, and it is not by accident, you know. This didn't happen by accident. And Allah knows the best. Although we know Allah has gifted them a lot, and we feel if they had lived, for those who know them, if they had lived, they would have been a great asset to this call, to this movement. Because even this short life that they did on this world, in this world, we saw how much contribution they gave to the movement. So alhamdulillah, maybe Allah, like the Sheikh was saying yesterday, that who knows, maybe it is Sahib al-Aswazzaman, that is what we hope, that has pleaded to Allah that these young soldiers, we need them for his re-emergence. Who knows, maybe they have been, and there are a lot of dreams that were had, that were, some people had visions, you know, dreams about them. They were telling the people that they are there, they are working, where they are taking to, they are working day and night. They are preparing for the coming of the Imam. So only Allah knows why this happened. But the only thing is that those who did this, inshallah, they will see that they have not achieved anything. Because they have not, in fact, they have made all the other children, now even those who are a little bit passive, they are not so active, they have made them more active. In fact, I even called all of them, I said, now you must be more active. You must take the place of Ahmed and Hamid and Mahmoud. All the things that they used to do, you must do it now. You must do it more and more and more, because it's a challenge. So, my only request to my brothers and sisters in conclusion is that we should pray that may Allah accept their shahada. And then may Allah also bless me with shahada. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Thank you very much, Muhammad, for that wonderful contribution. And it takes a moment to really understand how it's hard to lose things in within hours.
I thank everyone for the grace of Allah and also the training that this beautiful household have. I don't think there is any woman that can absorb this shock within one. But here we have the mother of the Matan, not only absorbing, but thanking God for these beautiful blessings and mercy. And that's why we are mourning, but we are celebrating, because the blood of these youngsters have watered the tree of Islam, and it has revived Islam, not only in Nigeria, but in Africa, inshallah. In the world, Allah have added the world. But permit me, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome our honored guest, the Ambassador of Islamic Republic of Iran, His Excellency Mr. Said Qutb Shaikh. I hope I got that right. and he is accompanied here by Lieutenant Atachino to the Embassy, Colonel Kinara Pasha, who is currently sitting over there. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, we are almost coming to the climax. But before this climax, we, as I said, there is an exhibition outside. So we are going to call on members of this distinguished high table to take a few steps to look around. We have Sister Sajida who take us through this process. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, I believe most members already seated, I think, have done their own exhibition. In order for us to finish in time and do and come back in time, maybe a few of us invited guests will accompany members of the high table to do this beautiful exhibition. I don't know, Sister Sajida already. So, inshallah, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My attention has been called to order and I'm properly guided now. So the exhibition, due to want of time, the exhibition will be done after the closing prayer. So we're going to move to the next session. Before the next session, I would like to give a few minutes to the Iranian ambassador to say his goodwill message. We'll also have a goodwill message from Sayyida Zahra Khomeini, which she sent on this important conference, which we are going to read. It's a very short goodwill message.
الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. First of all, it is my great pleasure that I'm here as Iranian Islamic Republic of Iran ambassador to this very important and valuable conference, the Conference of the Quds. And I would like to remember all martyrs, valuable martyrs in the last year in Zawiya in the Yom al-Quds al-Alamin. I pray for the all martyrs in the way of the freedom of the occupied of the Quds and occupied Palestine. Actually, we should remind and support this valuable blood for the Palestine issue, and it is not any doubt that for our fighting for Islamic only resistance for the Palestine issue, we should offer our shuhada and martyrs for this way. As you know that the Iranian, the Palestine issue is the main important and basic issue in Iranian foreign policy. And after the Iranian revolution, more than three decades, my country, Iranian people, actually paid it was actually very costly for my country. All of the sanctions, embargo, pressure in my country, Iran, actually it is a concentrate of Palestine issue. And there is not any way that the Ummah, Islamic Ummah, should be aware, and because there is a, unfortunately, the events in the past 2, 4, 5 years ago in the region, in the Middle East, the enemies try to create another problems to create another issues that the or attention to the Palestine to be, I think that the to endorse of the another issue, for example, that the fighting between Shia and Sunna and some this non-true issue, because our enemies, especially that the Zionist regime, to create a fighting of problems between Ummah, between Muslims. The events we see and present in Syria, in Yemen. In many of the Iraq countries, for example, in Bahrain, it means that the enemies try to, or efforts should be to concentrate to another issue, non-real issue. And unfortunately, some countries now actually that we are playing on the our enemy's ground on the for the benefits of the others. But the all of us, the Ummah al-Islamiyya, should be aware very well that the Palestine ever and every time it is our main and important issue. that inshallah, I pray that as soon as possible we can pray in the Masjid al-Aqsa together, and we find of the free Palestine. And I hope inshallah as soon as possible all of the Palestinian refugees came back to their country, the territory of the Palestine. And I should deeply thanks to Malam Samat Sheikh Zalzaki and his colleague to planning of this valuable conference. Inshallah, all of us should be aware and find very well that after this Iranian recent negotiation between Iran and big powers about the Iranian nuclear program, there is not any change in Iranian foreign policy. And Iran would never give up the support of the Palestine and or allies in the region for the pleas of the big powers. And the Iranian nation support for the for allies in the region actually is based on the Palestine issue. If we support of the resistance in the Lebanon, it means that we support of the Palestine issue. And the Iranian support is not depend of the religious Shia or Sunnah. Yes, in the same time we support or allies in the Islamic resistance in the Lebanon. On the other hand, we support of the Palestinian group. All of them is Sunnah. And actually this is a big mistake that anybody thinking that the Iranian Islamic Republic of Iran support or strategy depends on the religious, not never. Thank you very much. Actually, I'm not ready for the speech in this event. It is my great pleasure. I'm here between you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, and قول العرب نتمنى لشهدائنا الرحمة ولجرحانا الشفاء والعافية. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Even though he said you are not prepared for a speech, we believe that this program will not be complete without hearing from those few beautiful words from you. I'm going to read a good message from Sayyida Zahra Khomeini that she sent in commemoration of today's conference, and it's titled "Kudos to Lovers and Protectors of the Flight of Palestinians." I read, "The Grand Ayatollah Imam Ruhullah Khomeini, may Allah have mercy and bless his soul, declared the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as the International Quds Day. To this effect, he called on Muslims and non-Muslims around the world to come out on this beautiful day to stage and declare the rights and privileges of the poor and spirited people of Palestine. In declaring this day, Imam was often said, religion of Islam and a deity of the victory of Islam and Muslims. The wisdom of Imam Khomeini's declaration of setting aside the last Friday of Ramadan as the international Muslim is to show solidarity, love, and seek for the love and protection of the good and spiritual people of Palestine and oppressed people of the world. Striving and struggle towards truth and justice required steadfastness and sacrifice. The reality today, the enemy of truth and humanity have endangered peace, security, and happiness of the world in general, especially in Africa, where people have lost hope of redemption, change, and even confronting the basis of their hopelessness and unjust system. In the Holy Quran, in various verses, Allah has called on believers who are struggling for justice and Islam to bear patience with the final promise that victory at the end shall be theirs. And you and I know that Allah's promise never failed. The battle between truth and falsehood requires patience and perseverance and steadfastness for Allah's victory. Allah's promise indeed never failed, and Allah is with the patient friends. I am going to be with you in this all-important conference in person, but due to circumstances within beyond my control, I was not able to be here. But today, I am going to remember the beautiful souls of the Matanas in Nigeria. I wish to send my felicitation of love and condolence to the leader and guardian of Islamic movement in Nigeria, Alaric Said Ibrahim Sasaki Abdul Quran, and respected family on this inhuman and barbaric act of recklessness and terrorism that led to the gruesome murder of his three pious children during the 2014 International Women's Day in Zambia. There is no doubt the blood of their children and all of the world's contaminant in because of solidarity and struggle will be good for the cause of justice in this blessed moment of Ramadan while they are fasting shall never go in vain. Victory is with the pious scholars who have taken the path of struggle for the sake of Allah. This is not my own opinion, but that is the manifestations of Allah's promise. And Allah is benevolent to the people who have taken the path of struggle, and He shall fulfill His promise to those who have taken this beautiful but difficult path. Finally, I wish you happy celebrations, and I pray for the repose of the soul of the maternity. This is a moving message by Sayyidina Zahra Khomeini. Without wasting much of your time, I would like to hand over the microphone for the final and final moment we are all waiting for. And to lead us to that moment is our able erudite scholar, Professor Daniel Biahi.
Yeah. I read it on his behalf.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me read it on his behalf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We congratulate and thank the Islamic movement in Nigeria for organizing this important conference at a time when the Muslim world is facing enormous challenges. Al-Quds Day was declared to express solidarity with the Palestinian people's struggle to liberate Al-Quds Masjid al-Aqsa and the historic Palestinian from Zionist occupation and colonization, which is an important part of the global struggle of the oppressed to end colonialism and imperialism. The heroic resistance of the Palestinian masses to Zionist aggression, barbarity, and violation of human rights has caught the imagination of the world public, whose understanding of the Palestinian land conflict in the past had been very much influenced by Zionist propaganda. The boycott, the divestment, and the sanctions campaign launched by the Palestinian Civil Society Organization has been very successful in educating the Western public about the racist nature of Zionism, the Israeli apartheid, and the gross injustice done to the Palestinian people with the support of Western governments. Churches, universities, artists, and trade unions are supporting this campaign and having an impact on Israel. It is a shame that most Muslim states, in particular Arab regions, have not supported this campaign. There is a concerted attempt by enemies of Islam to negate the gains of the Palestinian resistance by sowing dissension in the Muslim Ummah and instigating conflicts among Muslims. We see Muslims killing Muslims in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, in the name of Islam, to the delight of the Zionist and the imperialist. The Arab world is in a state of confusion and paralysis, with its leaders acting as lackeys of Israel and the United States. They are using their tetrabellies for promoting sectarian conflicts in order to deviate from and weaken the struggle to liberate Al-Quds, Al-Aqsa, and Palestine. The treasury of these enemies of Islam must be exposed, and they must be brought down from the status of power and surrender to the discipline of history. We pray to Allah to shower his blessings on this conference and inspire the participants to come out with a good plan of action to promote unity among Muslims and the oppressed, freeing Muslim states from the tyranny of the taboos, and energize and accelerate the struggle to liberate Al-Quds Al-Aqsa and historic Palestine. This is from the chairman of Citizen International, Mohammed Idris, and the coordinator of Indian Abdelkader, Citizen International from Malaysia. Thank you. Now we come to the final session, and I have been privileged and honored to chair the speech by His Eminence, the Allama Sayyid Ibrahim Al-Zakzaki. When we come to our accounts of this eminent personality, there will be many versions of his history. And I'm certainly, if I'm going to write, my one will be different. I first met him when he was a student at the beginning of his study. I was then a lecturer at the university. But I was so agitated that I met him. And when I saw him, I talked to him. His personality was very attractive, even at that time. When he told me his mission, I immediately became impressed and accepted it. He told me that he was not against Western education, but he was against the role of Western education. And I agreed. He is unique, a unique personality, and Arab will say, Faridullah. And I think we have to thank Allah for this great gift, the people of Nigeria, Africa, and the world as a whole. in this society will become permanent, and he, with no history of this country, has been able to do throughout his history. Everybody who has come to prominence in this country was supported by the state, or is tolerated by the state. Manuel Ibrahim rose through his career against the opposition of the state. Then he was always a succeed. At a time when people were trying to protect the state, the system, protecting the system, students are holding the system one way or another, Allah, Sajid, even as I am, was against the system that we wanted to go forward, because the system was unjust, and it protects injustice. He grew up through this country, and made a difference in this country. We who live, not in the universities, but in the villages, I don't live in the university, I live in the villages, and my witness to the success of the world. People invite me from all the villages to come and talk to them about the time of the world. And that is the impact of his teaching. I have said it many times that Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been able to give a meaning to the lives of millions of Nigerians. He made a difference in this country. And I'm not happy or ashamed to say to any brother that he is the most important student in this country. When we live in our place, the way we live in this country, and we see the corruption, the disorder, especially among the youth, and then you hear them, you see the members of Islam movement, you can see the difference. He is still justly where men existed. They are respectable, peaceful. People who would now allow them to be told to understand the meaning of life and the new one. Therefore, I am not hesitating to answer any people, any group, any way to come talk about the work of this great personality. And we are happy that this woman is crying. Is able to stand in one place and hold people and just prayer to come to him on feet. He is able to do that. And when they come to all the society, nobody knows who is the order to get some material matters. Nobody is dealing with something material. And this is very important. Because I have seen many, I have been in politics, I have been in places. People go there in order to get something material. But people come to this movement in order to build themselves, to build society within society, and to build power for themselves. My Lord, Allah is Sakam. Allah is Sakam. And I hope. And I'm sure in this process we have trained a lot of people who will continue this study in order to make Nigeria a better place. For the past time, in this Nigeria, a Muslim can hold his head high, that's high for Muslim. One of the government, outside the government, and this is the thing, and it is still the most successful human movement in this part of Africa. And I'm sure even other parts of the world, people
people had advantages, the Roman missionary had advantages, intellectual advantages, material advantages, political advantages, to build the government. This is not the medieval any time when we started. Nobody knew anything about Jesus. Nobody knew anything about Islam. Except for us. Nobody knew anything about good things in society. Because colonialism has destroyed what our ancestors have built. And now land has divided everything. And Martin, with this Allah, the Allah to come and advise us to come with this meeting.
Of what is right and what is wrong.
what is good, what is justice and what is injustice, what is oppression and who are oppressed and who are the oppressors. If you want to do it that way, then do it that way. I recall that about in 1987, this is exactly about now 28 years ago, when the Saudis opened fire on Kurds demonstration in the city of Iraq, carried out led by the Iranian troops. It was in a holy land in the city which has been considered haram. We are built in haram, we are in the built in haram, in the mosque of haram. This people open fire mercilessly on innocent demonstrators, men, women and children. And they were shooting from all corners, from the ground, from adjacent sky windows, and even moving telescopic guns to the mountains. They massacred hundreds of Iranian leaders. We later learned that it came to know that the West, led by the United States, they came to the conclusion that people coming to Hajj and carrying the message of Quds to their various countries, according to them, will change the equation. It will bring the end of their empire, the end of what they call their civilization, if they have any, because I don't think they have civilization. If America, the United States of America is civilized, then tigers are more civilized than they are. Because it's not civilization when you need proof of us. It's when you need knowledge and science. That's civilization. Cruel force is the force of animals. They said that this will be the end of their civilization. That's the end of their dominance, the end in all over the world. So they don't think it lightly. If you didn't, they don't see it as a matter of two states, or two races, or two religions, or whatever. They think that the issue of Kurds is determining the factor of whether their so-called civilization will prevail or will come to an end. They think that it's a matter of the rising, second rise of the Islamic religion over the power of the religion, whether they like it or not. And that's why they often fire mercilessly, because they have nothing, they cannot preach. Because truth is only one, there are no two truths opposing one another. So the only one was false, and they used it. So here, they have not crushed the idea of course. The idea of course continued. Even in the same Holy Land, in the subsequent pilgrimages after the Iranians boycotted Hajj for some years, and then when they were back, they continued the Quds name. It is about every piece of Zilhijja, I think, every piece, and the message of Quds continued to separate. Unfortunately, here we find that when happened last year happened, the coverage in the Nigerian newspapers, they were calling it Shiites. Shiites, Shiites. They said, so they are saying, sect, sect. I don't know whether this is civilization or not. We have newspapers, we have sites in the internet, and we don't have really want television. But as much as we can, we reach people. There was no time we ever used a word sect around ourselves. No time. In our writings or speech, if it even among Muslims. Some Muslim organizations is Shiites. I even had in the BBC House section, you are saying the last Friday of Ramadan is the day when the followers of Shia Mazhab tend to show their solidarity with Palestine. How can the issue of showing solidarity with Palestine be an issue of a Mazhab? What is Mazhab doing? Are you not human? How can it be issue of Mazhab? It's not an issue of Mazhab. It's issue of conscience. Are you in support of oppression? Are you in support of colonization? Are you in support of education? Are you in support of racism? Are you in support of apartheid? Are you in support of deadly acts? Because that's what Israel represents. Now, if you think it is a sort of issue of whatever, call it respect or anything, they have shown you that it is not so. Because last year, at the time we celebrated the course, the people of Palestine were under constant bombardments for over 2 weeks, non-stop, during Ramadan. They have no respect even for the Muslim or Ramadan or the fact that the people of Palestine are numerous of them were asking. At that time, if you were watching television live, you will see coverage in the news, you see how the Israeli soldiers were opening fire on innocent Palestinians. If you watch a clip of the massacre that took place in Daraa at the last year's Quds, it is available in our site, islamnews.org. You will see it. Just watch, and if you have ever seen some clips of also attack on Palestinians, unless you can look at the color of the people, and you will see that it is Palestine. The same tactics they use in Palestine, that's the same tactics they use against us last year. Not only the same tactics, the same rules. The commander of the operation was had giving asking all and was asked out or in whatever saying, give us such rounds of Israeli see for something like this, a certain number, if they have certain bullets, they call it Israeli. So they use Israeli bullets. And then also, not only that, some people have testified to the fact that they have seen some Israelites or people with white skin among the Jews. They didn't come down when they were shooting from their babies. And openly, as from the account of those who were there in the Basawa Bahar, they said that somebody came in a tinted car with a convoy. He came out, apparently he was either an Israeli or an American. He came out and he gave his camera. They filmed every person in the place, including those who killed. And then he was asking questions, he was taking notes. And he talked to them, nobody knew what he was saying, and then he moved out. So it is Israelites themselves using their own weapons here. This is to show you that they think they are fighting in Palestine and everywhere where anybody say it must be liberated. Mazhab here. If you are a Muslim, at least you know what it is. I don't know whether you are a Muslim, Shia as Muslims, I don't know. But the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man lam yatamu bi amr muslimin, fa laysa bi muslimin." Man lam yatamu bi amr muslimin, fa laysa bi muslimin. Whatever the
doesn't care about anything that affects the Muslims. He's not one of them, or he's not a Muslim. And this is the same tradition with which Imam Khomeini, Professor Sirru, used when he calls on Lebanese. He calls on scholars from Lebanon. One of them was narrating an account that for the first time he was face-to-face with Imam Khomeini, and he was thinking that they would be ushered, they would say, oh, the way he was not expecting to see Imam. There's coming that Imam of them. And he talked to them. Among what he said to them was, "Man lam yatam bi amr muslimin, falaysa bi muslim." Our brothers are being killed, and we cannot sit down, just watch. We have to do something. And you being cruel to these people, the burden is more for you. And that was the birth of Hezbollah. I always say, if I am asked who is the founder of Hezbollah, I say it's Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini is the founder of Hezbollah. This is how Hezbollah came. And Hezbollah changed the equation. Completely, the equation is changed. They never thought that Muslims, and they call them Arabs, like it was in that that was quotation by this what was his name? Shamir was saying that we thought that the Arabs have to only answer yes whenever we give order. We even need to tell them that don't ever try to say no. Just say yes to any order we give. To our surprise, the Hezbollah government, they call it Hezbollah. They are different Arabs. What do you mean by Arabs? It's mainly Hezbollah. Hezbollah proved to them that they are different Arabs. Now, the Hezbollah were not only speaking, they were acting. To the extent that they themselves trusted the same Hezbollah model, they are only if say the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will tell them that tomorrow anyone in Tel Aviv should pack and leave them definitely because they will be saving it. Now the situation has changed. Here they have power and meaning. I think if you ask any Israeli official who is in the helm of affairs, have you found any nation or state in the world that has been so stupid and useless like Nigeria? They say, no, just we were siphoning wells without paying anything. Have you ever found stooges who are following you without anything like Nigeria? No, ever. We have never seen dogs like Nigerian leaders. Yeah. Because these people who are in Nigeria, during operations, they were taking their right now, as we speaking, a little institution of which there are Nigerian students in Israel, and there are Nigerian students in the United States of America. They are only brought here whenever they want to carry out atrocities, and then they will be taken back. And they are paid in dollars. Who are carrying dollars? Under the presence of security agreement. During the election about race, they came directly in the area where I was living. In one area near the police station, there were two the American soldiers where they were stationed there. In the other area, the left of my area, in the NFC, University of Education, the soldiers who were stationed there were brought from Israel, they were called Israeli soldiers. They were Nigerians, of course, being taken there. And right now I heard that a lot of them are coming back, and they think that a year away, an operation. last year and the particular attack on Zaire in particular. Because someone might ask, why Zaire? In the past, why Nigeria? And then why Zaire in Nigeria? Because it honestly took place. They need silently open the phone and then they pass. Now that they don't have much checkpoints along the road, it took us only 2 hours from Mary to reach Abuja. Only 2 hours. Of course, there was an area where they wanted to block us and they even asked us to all come out. So the workers came out and showed them that they cannot, they couldn't wait, and then we passed. They made some technical and then I believe the result is right after, but we passed. Why did they come and take 7 hours? They said themselves, and they were telling our children, they said, we are the people who are killing your people in Burundi. They said it all. Clearly it exposed who the Boko Haram are. I had a lot of people say Boko Haram, Boko Haram, Boko Haram. Let me say, I say it several times, and I will say it even, Boko Haram does not exist. There is nothing about Boko Haram. Boko Haram is a Nigerian government under the leadership of a leader general. The same soldiers in Singapore will wear rubber beard and non Germania and commit atrocities, saying they can even pronounce Allah Akbar, instead they say Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, because most of their language they cannot say Allah because they don't have tajdeed in their language. Also they cannot say Akbar, ask anyone to say Akbar, ask anyone to say Akbar, you can never say that. So they say Allah Akbar. And they commit atrocities. In one day, our children, they told them clearly that we are the people who killed in Borno and Yobe. And something I don't like to say, but they said it. They said that, apparently, they said that they were eating human flesh. And she would add to the and then the government, they also planned to go as and say, I was going to tafsir for Ramadan. But having heard about what happened in this, I was advised to change it. And then we made the correction that we understood that they have planned a bomb, planted a bomb. And then they understand that they have planted the quickly because the bomb was nothing short of briefcase containing bombs, and when somebody was in remote control somewhere. And what they call suicide bombers, not really suicide bomber. They strap bomb on someone they arrest and kill without food and water for at least 3 days. Then they strap bomb on him and then they inject him and push him in the crowd and push him out of control. And then he will be called suicide bomber. How do you deal with my, when do you take a Muslim to be? Who wants has a mission to establish an Islamic state will strap bomb around his body in a mosque where Muslims are praying and then deliberate himself and kill himself and so many people. What is this? It's not madness. You want sensible people to eat, you believe me, one lie, if you believe that Muslims are doing, you are not sensible. You are mad. What do you achieve in your political world? You want to change the system of affairs in this country. And then you think to yourself, what do you achieve? Do you see if someone wants to become a president in this country, he will kill himself. So you become a president. So we did a lot of benefits out of what they did. Even this method is a as a result of what they did. And the more you touch us, the stronger we become. And what is the fear will one day overcome them. Inshallah, His Excellency said, one day, inshallah, we will pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. I lost any identity or word to say here, but I take two words. We are destroyer of every government. The more you touch us, the more stronger we become. The more you touch us, the more stronger we become. The more you touch us, the more stronger we become. Okay, the stronger we become. So inshallah, this is the climax. Aka ce masu kunni sun ji, ɗan kunni ya ji jiki ya zina. Masu gudu kuma su fara gudu. So thank you very much, my leader, my guardian, the moral and spiritual workings of Africa, for this beautiful world. It is refreshing. And I believe that it has energized every one of us as we embark to our different destination. And finally, I would like to call on Engineer Yami to come and give us a vote of thanks.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Again, although during each junction, many people have the coordinators have one time or the other given thanks. Even the vaccine was here, he had also given some thanks to all that have done. One or other, especially the speakers who have spoken very well on various topics that have enlightened us. And the one thing is not very bad, anything bad if we reinforce our thanks to them. And we cannot have enough words to explain our thanks for this very purpose and what has transpired since morning to now. But our first thank and one of it, we were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was creating us and doing the Lord with the faculty of human beings and enjoying us through the our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. to be human. And I'm the Muslim, and human, and also to be human, to our brothers. In Islam, and also to our brothers, the humanity. It is said that one has said that if somebody is not a brother in the faith, he is your brother in humanity. And anyone who called Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before the departed this world had admired not to oppress people. And one of the things we should not be oppressed. We must not be oppressed, and we must not oppress it. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounty on us. And we also thank the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who has been the first example, and who Allah said is our example. And after him, all to this, we thank all of them, and we have to also thank Al-Mahbub, 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 that has taught us in many ways that this is the path. And ever since we have been on this path under the guidance of Al-Mahbub, for the last 30 years, we have been under this tutelage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thank and provide the ability for our guidance and for his steadfastness. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to preserve his land. For this time, we also thank his was only going to him, and with our mother and has endured so much today. The latest being the Shahada of our three very, very handsome and outstanding young service of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala continue to reward her and endure her with iman and strength of heart to continue this tour. And then we also become our invited guests, especially those from outside, especially in Asia, who was really important with his speech, very strong and enlightening speech that you will never forget. He has given us the Quranic dimension of this particular story and has shown us that it is not something new, it has only been there, and has encouraged us that there is light at the end of the tunnel, inshallah. We also thank His Excellency, the Ambassador of Islamic Iran and Socialist, and then here at home, the professor, indefatigable professor, and those other discussions that were here and had left earlier due to some engagement, one engagement or the other. And Haji Abu Kisrus, also who has always been with us, ever before. We hope, it is our sincere hope that whenever we come again, our prayers will be answered. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide him all abundantly. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take everyone back safely, silently, and kindly, and we hope this is not our last meeting together on this kind of occasion. Many more will come up, inshallah, and we hope to meet again. On Tuesday, as the Sheikh said last minute, and the Sheikh and earlier the ambassador said that inshallah we will pray in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. May Allah make it fun. May Allah make this prediction come to inshallah. And we also thank all the participants, brothers and sisters, especially those who have helped in whatever way. There are people that have given contributions, monetary and otherwise, for this particular occasion to become a success. We thank them, we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to work them abundantly and to increase them in halal wealth and energy to continue to perform this kind of services. We thank you all. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
I'm finally the International Human Rights Commission has prepared a video CD on what happened on that day. And if you read a content, a subscribe to the end, you'll learn these announcements that they or online themselves, or you come to the secretariat, inshallah, which is the media to be here and run. Secondly, it's even the reading coming from the story starting in the meeting in Nigeria, and also the struggle of this man for you, and also the line and time of this beautiful and balanced youth people who gave everything for the sake of Islam. Without much of I think finishing the work, I'm going to go back to the
Gracias.
participants to remain seated. Please remain seated. Now we are going to the exhibition now, please, but most of the participants, please, if you remain seated, when saying the members of the high table have finished, then the others can go in later, inshallah.
Sajid, enough Sajid.